Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple app or Google Play stores.
The following podcast is brought to you by BetDSI.com. The NFL and college seasons are heating up, so what are you doing on the sidelines? Get in the game with BetDSI. They've been paying winners for 20 years now, and with a reputation for great service and fast payouts, it's easy to know why BetDSI is the place to play, win, and get paid. Anytime, anywhere. BetDSI has every wager you could ever imagine, whether it's the NFL, college football, Major League Baseball, the NBA, UFC, esports, global sports. I mean, if it's happening, BetDSI is putting a line on it. You can even bet on politics and celebrities. Plus, you can bet live with BetDSI's live betting option. So stop hanging out on the sidelines and get started with BetDSI. You'll get some extra bang for your buck right now, too. BetDSI is offering you podcast listeners an extra 25% bonus, but only when you use the promo code WIN125. Don't leave your money on the table. Use promo code WIN125 and get the special podcast listener 125% bonus. Just visit BetDSI.com. That's BetDSI.com and use promo code WIN125. Don't stand on the sidelines. To win it, you have to be in it. Visit BetDSI.com right now. That's BetDSI.com. Promo code WIN125.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5, 802-713-7803. Let's go. I mean, your team is 7-3, okay? And the Rockets have now got a winning record. The Astros pick up Aledmys Diaz. Baby Marwin.
We're going to call him Baby Marwin because that's what he's going to be.
He's Baby Marwin, okay? Now, it can't be better, and y'all are sitting on your hands. It's time for you to speak up about the greatness that is the city of Houston and sports, the greatest sports city in the world. But first, let's go to our Robbins Brothers Diamond Play of the Week.
Long throw in time.
Here's your Diamond Play of the Week, presented by Robbins Brothers, the engagement ring store.
Smith. To the end zone. Intercepted! Picked off by Justin Reed, the rookie, up the sideline, and he is going to go! ...101 yards.
You also want to make sure, from a timing-wise, you're handling things properly.
Presented by Robbins Brothers, the engagement ring store, West Loop South and Clear Lake.
What a play indeed. How about that? Justin Reed, man, he has been. I'm going to tell you this. And my buddy said to me, and it's been true. You know, the Texans have ignored the safety position pretty much. You know, they paid Ed Reed, which was one of the dumbest contracts. One of the dumbest moves they've ever made is paying Ed Reed $5 million to come here.
Particularly when you couple it with Glover Quinn, allowing Glover Quinn to leave so you could sign Ed Reed.
Right. Instead of giving Glover Quinn, a younger guy who could actually play and is still in the league plan, you gave Ed Reed $5 million. So it can't. That can't be any. That's just a.
And that was an owner's decision, right? From what we were told that, or was that a Wade decision? Because that was I got the impression, and now that's because the Texans don't like to let you know who's responsible for things, but I got the impression that that was, we need a winner in here. We had just lost to Baltimore or something along those lines. Let's get Ed Reed in
here. Ox in the ditch thing?
Kind of one of those deals where he saw we needed a winning type of change in the locker room. We thought Ed Reed would provide it.
I always thought it was a Rick thing. I don't know. Whatever the case may be.
And that's the perfect scenario. We don't know.
Well, but he's the general manager. And if the general manager doesn't have enough power to go, this is a bad decision, guys. He's well over. I mean, this is not at the time to get Ed Reed and pay him money. And you would have been, listen, that was a Carmelo deal. That was a Melo deal. That Ed Reed thing. I don't know if we could rank dumb moves, Scottie Pippen, Melo, Ed Reed in this city.
Well, at least with Scotty became a disaster, but you made the playoffs with him, and he was a starter on your team. The other two, the Rockets, for whatever reason, mistakenly thought that Carmelo Anthony was a piece to a puzzle that could help them win a title.
Yeah,
they couldn't have been more wrong. And the Ed Reed thing was, what year was that? Was that 2013? That he played, that he was on the team. What year did Ed Reed sign with the Texans?
I can't remember
because
they all run together now. Whatever the case may be, he was well over out of obviously since they cut him. What? How many games into? I don't know. I think Melo and Ed Reed. That's a nice horse race.
Ed Reed was signed in 2013. That was the year coming off. That was coming off the game they lost to the Patriots. Well, remember they started off 11. I forgot. Weren't they 11-1? And then Matt Schaub fell apart late in 2012, and they won a home game,
right,
and then went to New England and decided not to cover a running back.
Right.
So that was then I thought that was why Bob and Eric thought we needed to bring someone who had won before into the, however, whoever decided that was that it was 2013. He signed with the Texans, and it was a disaster.
A disaster. So, they haven't had safety. They've never put anything into safety. They drafted drafting Justin Reed here. You know, TJ Swearinger, they put him and got rid of him 2 years later.
Yeah.
Because he was DJ Swearinger at the time. Well, he's always been DJ Swearinger, but he was DJ Swearinger. And so you couldn't have him here anymore. But other than that, What have they put in the safety position?
Well, Swearinger, they drafted a in-the-box safety for a league that was changing the way the game was played.
Right.
So they went after a safety who didn't fit the mold of what the league was becoming.
But now going out and get Tyrann Mathieu and drafting Justin Reed, having Andre Hall back, moving Kareem to safety but then back to corner.
Which has been good.
It's all been good. I mean, you talk about finally pressing the right buttons. And he said, my buddy said to me, he said, I think they've gone from, you know, the worst safety situation in the league to the best. I don't know if Tyrann Mathieu and Justin Reed and Andre Hall is the best safety position situation in the league, but I would probably say it's pretty damn close. And I'll tell you this, when you look at the reason, one of the big reasons that the Colts won the Super Bowl with a defense that was suspect was Bob Sanders.
He came back and he was the difference for that defense.
He was a huge difference. Troy Polamalu, Ed Reed. You go on and on. Teams that have safety.
Last year, Malcolm Jenkins for the Eagles.
He was a beast. You have to have safety play. And I know it's undervalued, just like running back in the NFL draft. But when you don't have it, you know. I mean, it shows out there. And when you do have it, all of a sudden things seem to be so much easier defensively.
And it'd be interesting. We talk about what they put in. They, and rightfully so, gave Mathieu a one-year deal. He plays the way he's played, and he's... And it's not just his play on the field. It's the kind of the intangibles he brings to that defense. It certainly helps that he's actually played pretty well. What do they decide with him? Now you have your young safety in Justin Reed, who won't cost you a lot. Are you going to give Mathieu the name plus the performance this year? Probably means he's going to be able to find himself a big deal. Will they do that? Will they dive in
and keep him? So that's a good question, because we keep on talking about, and it looks like there's a story out this morning that Jadeveon Clowney is going to get a max deal. So can you, are you going to be able to afford to give Tyrann Mathieu, or do you say, listen, we're going to pay Kareem, who is probably your defensive MVP this year. We're going to pay Kareem. We got Justin Reed. We still got Andre Hall. And we're going to go when we're going to have to allocate that money somewhere else. We're not going to allocate it to safety.
Because you think about the secondary, corner is a, despite the way the defense is played, corner is still a place you're going to have to improve. J.J., who knows? I mean, continues to hang around and play. But
play well.
And he continues to defy what we think is his longevity as far as career is concerned. But you still have Kevin Johnson, who you can't depend on. So that's what I'm saying is, if you're going to open up another hole at safety, because do you find another guy who can give you the production that Mathieu did? Because you remember, you took a flyer on him and it worked out. It's another guy with his talent out there who's looking to regain his stature. Or do you draft the safety while you still have to draft the corner and draft the tackle? I get it. The money is a big concern. Fortunately, you can go cheap at the quarterback position for quite a bit.
Well, don't you think, though, if you go to war with Hal, Justin Reed, and Kareem, and then a Corey Moore type guy, a street free agent, well,
that's what they've decided to do in the past. That's been kind of the piecemeal formula they tried to put together in the past.
However, I think that you found that Kareem Jackson is more than just a guy. You know what I'm saying? I mean,
but do you want to remove?
I don't think you can. This year you're getting away with Kareem at corner. I don't think that that'll be the case next year.
Well, do you want to remove the versatility that Kareem brings, where you can play him at corner and safety depending on situations because you have Mathieu, or do you want to stick him straight back at safety?
Well, don't you think he'll be in the slot a bunch if he's playing safety?
Well, that seems like a likelihood, but then you have Justin Reed as your one of your safeties for the future, and is Andre Howe or Corey Moore enough when you have, I mean, for what Mathieu has been. He's an upgrade over those two.
Oh, absolutely. But here's the thing is, you can't pay everybody. Would you rather pay? Here's the deal. Would you rather pay Jadeveon Clowney or Tyrann Mathieu?
Y'all, pass rushers are always at a premium, but then that kind of pushes away our discussion about how important safeties are. I guess I'm paying Clowney. Although I would ask, can he get docked? Can the salary cap include offsides penalties? Like, because that come off the cap every time he jumps off sides for no reason?
No.
No?
JJ's the one who jumped off sides.
They both have their instances.
Okay. So let's not put that on Clowney.
But JJ raised $41 million, so he's allowed to jump off sides.
Has he gone up to 41 now?
Raheel has that number now. Where it's at 41?
Is it 41?
I thought it was 37.
Is he still collecting?
Raheel gave me 41.
Does anybody know where that money went?
That's always a question.
Everyone knows where the money went, John.
Is it strip club
in
Ozarks?
Can we stop saying that, please?
JJ washed the money in a strip club in the Ozarks.
That's a show. No. That's not JJ Watt.
You sure it's not Marty Watt who goes up there and cleans the cash?
No, that's Madison. That's not the Ozark, okay? There's a different show called Madison, where we actually give out our money.
Is there really a difference between Madison and the Ozarks?
Yeah, there's a big difference. Big difference. It's Wisconsin.
It's two places I never want to be.
The Heartland, okay? That's what it is.
It's a liberal college town is what it is.
That's exactly what it is, a bunch of lefties. So let's talk right now about Texas Star Grill Shop, their six-year anniversary sale. Thanksgiving is here. You want to grill outside. You want to fry the turkey outside. You can get this done at Texas Star Grill Shop. You know how you do it? They have a burner that has enough BTU that you can actually fry turkeys or boil crawfish. Or, yes, they have this. They have a pizza oven. They have a kegerator. They have an entire outdoor kitchen. They have every grill you could possibly want. Okay. You want to grill. You can actually do this. You can put your turkey on the grill, cook it for 8 hours. You think that thing won't come out moist and delicious? They've got it where you can set the temperature with your phone and just check with your phone. And here, we're going to need a few more degrees here, a few less degrees, whatever the case may be. It is so, I'm telling you, the grill game is something different. And Texas Star Grill Shop is ahead of everybody else. Free delivery and assembly. easy to get to, 59 in Shepherd in Houston, 8905 Louetta in Spring. You're looking for that grill this fall, this Christmas, whatever the case may be, TexasStarGrillShop.com. The best prices on grills, the best selection, TexasStarGrillShop.com.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. I think we need to save that for Raheel. He cannot be happier with Dana and Mike Gundy and Chad Clay for Oklahoma State beating West Virginia, because all Texas has to do now is beat Kansas. And I want to tell you something. Kansas ain't giving up. They put 40 on Oklahoma. Now, Oklahoma's defense is so bad.
Mike Stoops, doesn't matter. They have a terrible defense.
Here's the deal. If Ohio State beats Michigan, OU is probably in, because Georgia's going to lose to Alabama in the SEC championship game. So Georgia probably moves up into the neighborhood because, let's face it, that Oklahoma defense, and I think we said the same thing last year, and OU certainly put up a fight against Georgia, and that was a fun. That was probably the best game. Well, I guess the Bama game was a better game.
It turned into the better game because when Tua entered, but as far as from start to finish.
Georgia-Oklahoma was just an unbelievable.
It was a fun game, yeah.
And with Kyler Murray, with his star power and the way he plays football, I guess you never know. They can outscore. They can actually offensively play with anybody. You know, even Alabama's going to have their problems. That's the kind of guy that gives Alabama problems.
Yeah, it's just
now their defense won't give anybody a problem.
Just that Alabama, you expect them to get at least a couple stops where you don't think Oklahoma's going to get any.
Yeah. Oh, I can't. I mean, how bad are they? Kansas put up 40.
I mean, and it's weird because even with their defensive issues, they probably get more talent defensively than anyone in the conference but Texas. But they're like a souped-up Texas Tech from back when Cliff was either playing, when Leach was there, where you would wonder how could they be so good offensively and not be able to get athletes on defense, and then you realize the system exacerbates problems for a defense, both their defense and the opponent, and you can scheme your way into being a good offense. There are very few ways to scheme your way into being a good defense if you don't have the athletes, and Tech never had them, but that shouldn't be the excuse for Oklahoma.
No.
I don't get it. I don't understand, because you see Texas in the same conference can find a way to get stops. So why can't Oklahoma?
I guess this wasn't on Mike Stoops after all, was it? So, it's going to be interesting on Saturday. Dana was about as disappointed as he possibly could be. My buddy saw him at the airport, and he said, man, he was just dejected. And rightfully so. This is the best chance that Dana's had to get to the championship, to the playoff, and it went by the wayside because they just couldn't stop freaking Cornelius from running. Oh, my God. Has anybody watched Oklahoma State this year? That dude runs. He runs all the time. Somebody sealed the edge because it just doesn't – why is every single time you're going to bite on that fake? On that, just let the running back run, because my goodness, Cornelius is going to kill you. And on the goal line, fourth down, you knew Cornelius was going to run, and he runs. And
13 carries, 106 yards. Now, West Virginia didn't stop anybody on the ground in that game. Was it, what's his name? Chuba?
Yeah.
Chuba Hubbard? He was. He lit them up too. So No.
Neither team could stop anything.
Yeah, it was. They put up 31 points in that second half, and it felt like just this wave that was just going to crash down on West Virginia. They couldn't find a way to slow down momentum in any way, and eventually, and you know, it's weird because they were scoreless in that third quarter. They scored 10 in the fourth quarter, and all of a sudden, when they were down and they looked desperate, they moved the ball right down the field. They ran out of time. So it's an interesting thing, and I'm not going to be asking the questions, but it'd be weird to try to figure out what happens. What happened to the team who scored 31 points in the first half themselves, and how do you go scoreless in the third? Yeah. And then ramp it back up in the fourth.
Well, Oklahoma State had the ball first, and when they go down and score, I said, "Uh-oh, this is not going to be good. This is not going to be good." And sure enough, they just got the momentum. They just really did. It wasn't like I really didn't think it was on Jake Spavital and the offense. I just thought this momentum has swung. They're playing with a lot more emotion. They believe they're back in this football game, and they were. And it just steamrolled. But just get one stop. Goodness gracious. They just ran it down their throat. Somebody texted me and said, you know, he's going to throw an interception here. I said, he doesn't have to throw. Are you watching? They're just running it down West Virginia's throat. So that changed everything in the I don't know how much it changed. I really think as bad as Ohio State has played, I think it's going to be awfully difficult for Michigan this week.
I do too. I mean, Ohio State can score, and Michigan has one of the better, if not the best defense, certainly one of the better defenses in the country. So, sure, there'll be more of a test than Maryland was and past opponents for Ohio State leading up to this game. But why would I believe that Michigan's going to go into the horseshoe? Why would I believe that Jim Harbaugh is going to beat Urban Meyer, particularly in that building? Mm-hmm. Show me before I trust you. Now, Michigan struggled a little bit against Indiana, which they've done in recent memory. I don't know what that is about that matchup, but it's been one possession games until Saturday, where they finally beat them by more than one score. I still think Ohio State wins that game.
Yeah, me too. As bad as they've looked, I still gotta believe that, you know, until Harbaugh can prove differently. For whatever reason, they gagged that game. They just do. We'll see what happens. But, man, this opened the door for Texas to be. And did you see, is Michelle Herman just telling everybody, bleep you, okay?
Yeah, the shirt she wore. She was spotted wearing the shirt.
Okay, cool.
Hook them. I told you, college football is like a cult. Mm-hmm. And things are going good. And that's going to become a slogan for Texas, because – particularly if this run continues and they get to the Big 12 title game and win it, that'll be the thing. That'll be the thing that kind of encapsulates this season, the okay, cool, hook 'em. And it's good unless Herman loses Oklahoma, then it might change. But that's what it is. You circle the wagons around your guy. Doesn't matter if he's an alleged dirtbag. Doesn't matter if he's a confirmed dirtbag. He's your dirtbag. And if your dirtbag wins games, we love a dirtbag here.
Mm-hmm.
Until I'm sure Louisville people love Bobby Petrino under Lamar Jackson. Yeah, he's shaky. He's sketchy. He's a dirtbag, but he's our dirtbag. Now that they went 2-7 before he got fired, or 2-8 before he got fired, Bobby's got to go. Get that dirtbag out of here. All y'all fake. Winning is everything. I mean, he doesn't know where the sounder is, but that's all it is. Win, 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 win. I don't care what you do, particularly in college sports. For all that bastion of education, and it's all about being a student athlete. Even the fans don't care. Even the people who went to the school don't care. Just
no.
Win me games. I don't care what you do.
No. What we care about unless is you're student athlete.
Unless you're Duke.
That's what we care about.
Because they're the greatest, right?
That's right. Duke cares about the student athlete.
Yeah. Now that they're what they're one and done's.
You know what I care about? Coors Light. You know why? Rest in peace, Coors Light. I did not have one Coors Light this weekend.
That's got to be a problem for their profit margin.
I haven't
had
any since, I don't think, Wednesday or Tuesday.
Are you going to change that today?
No. I'm still not. I'm playing at about 60, 65% though. So here's the deal can somebody pick up the slack for me? Coors Light is probably having an emergency meeting right now going, what the hell happened to sales this weekend? And I'm going to take, listen, it's on me, okay? It's on me. But you guys, I need you, that's what we call complimentary beer drinking, okay? If I can't get it done, I'm going to need you guys to pick me up, okay? Next man up. Now, I know not Dan Holden is doing his job, Landa Steve, they're doing their jobs, but we're going to need somebody else to pick me up. I've been under the weather, haven't been able to play at the top of my game, my Coors Light game, so I need somebody to pick me up here. It's next man up. All right, can you be Greg Mance? Okay. Martinez Rankin? Can you step up when we need help up there on the front line, on the Coors Light front line? That's what I need. Pick up some Coors Lights. Save the company because I can't get there. I'm still not there. I need your help. Drink Coors Light. Climb on, brother.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, some news and notes. Dude, Les Miles, the head coach at Kansas.
Okay. I'm happy about it. Not because I care about Kansas football, but I am interested to see Les Miles do an interview at the Texas game this week.
No, Les Miles being Les Miles, it's good for everybody, okay? That's not the point. Okay. Now, I really didn't, and Herm has, they've fallen back to earth. The whole Herm hire, bringing John Gruden hire, and now Les Miles hire. Their names, they're, I honestly, Les Miles in the Big 12. So, one of the reasons that Les Miles was so successful at LSU was because he was able to recruit, and he with Nick Saban's guys at first, but then he was able to recruit. He had plenty of really, really good football players. He had such an area, he tried to put a fence around, and for the most part he did until near the end, around the state of Louisiana. And if you do that, you're going to win football games just because you can out-athlete everybody. Kansas? Not so much.
I think you're underestimating Les's ability to scheme up his team.
I'm not underestimating that. I'm estimating that. And it's
You think Les can, as Charlie Weiss once said, create a schematical advantage for his team on a week-to-week basis?
Can you imagine Les Miles' offense in the Big 12?
John, we know he's changed. His time out of football means he will realize things have to change, and he will hire a innovative offensive coordinator.
Listen, there's still because Les Miles was at LSU, they still can't change and do anything differently.
No, well, you had a big name coordinator you're paying $1 million to, and he didn't jive with what Ed Ogeron wanted, so you went back to a guy who Ed Ogeron had demoted to be your offensive coordinator,
right?
And Steve Ensminger, is that the name?
Yes. And you put 42 on Rice. Thank you.
Which is low for an LSU team against Rice.
No. That was about what? Dude,
for an LSU team. For a team with LSU's talent. I will say that.
I had the under. You know what the under over was?
What?
52. It got up to 53 because people thought that. And I was like, no.
What was the matter with you? Rice did tack on that cheap touchdown. Listen,
I figured LSU to do exactly what they did. I didn't figure Rice to score 10.
Well, they had the cheap touchdown at the end, which is what you might have expected. Congratulations to Rice for no one dying on the field.
That was all I think that Rice could hope for was that no one got seriously, and hopefully nobody did. So Les Miles in the Big 12, you guys, I can't even imagine how horrific.
No, you're looking at this all wrong. Les Miles has changed. His time at ESPN around all those brains at ESPN, his time going around the country learning offenses, he's not going to call the plays. He's not going to call the I formation pitch run up the middle play anymore. By the way, LSU, I don't know if they do that this year. They did that last year. They still had that play last year with Les gone. Things have changed, John.
It's going to be the same.
No, it can't be.
And he's not going to have any good defense.
He won't.
Listen, this is going to be as if Kansas football wasn't bad enough.
People will pay attention now.
Only because Les is eating grass.
Well, okay? It's field turf. He can't. He's going to be eating rubber pellets.
Well, wherever. Isn't there somewhere that has grass, though?
Think about the Big 12. Where are the grass fields in the Big 12 now? Iowa State, I think, is maybe the only one.
Let me ask you this. He goes to, Oklahoma comes to Kansas.
Too. They have grass.
They have grass. Oklahoma comes to Kansas next year.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Do they play within 40?
Well, Oklahoma's going to be introducing a new quarterback because Kyler's going to be there for this year. There'll be some guy we never heard of. Do they play within 40?
Do you think he'll be any good, an Oklahoma quarterback?
It's likely. I mean, but they had Paul Thompson at one point, remember? They haven't had, because Baker was there and Sam, they've had their share of good quarterbacks. And Lincoln Riley will find a way to score points. I get that part. But they don't have to be Heisman Trophy candidates. It doesn't have to be that next year.
Okay, under over 40, do they play within 40?
Unless it's first year? Is it snowing? Is it
do
the wind
they
going
play
sideways?
Within 40?
When's the game? Is it the first game of the year where everyone's healthy? What's the top? You can't get 40. Kansas play within 40 this year.
I know they played within 40
this
year.
On the road.
I'm talking about next year, not this year.
I'm telling you, Les will not run the same offense. They will play within 40.
Okay.
They will play within 40.
I'm going to take the other way.
I know you are. You don't have any faith in one of the greatest coaches in LSU history.
Now, I like Les, and he won 12 games like three times, I think.
Yeah.
Les was just fine, but that was SEC football.
Where he had all the players.
Yeah. And he doesn't have any. He's not going to have players, and he's going to be in a track. He's going to be in a track meet he's going to be in a boat race with a rowboat.
I will appreciate when Les is bemoaning the fact that he doesn't have any fullbacks and tight ends.
Well, he'll find them.
I know Jimbo did. He won't. By the way, nice job, Jimbo. Alleged trap game destroyed UAB. Nice job by the Aggies. Les will find a way to play within 40.
Listen. I just
David Beatty's corpse play within 40 on Saturday, Les will do it too.
David Bailey is an offensive genius next
David
to
David Beatty's corpse played within 40.
He's an offensive genius next to Les. Okay.
I don't see.
All right. So that happened this weekend. Les Miles back in within all of, and it's going to be fun. It's going to be fun because Les is back, and so we'll get Les-isms, a lot more of them. Your Texans won. That was huge. Alex Smith, two broken bones, fibula and tibia.
It looked it from the one replay I saw.
Now, shattered leg. Somebody said, I mean, I hope he had surgery yesterday.
They had to do it.
I know they had to do it. I'm hoping, God, who was the Bears tight end that they thought was going to lose his leg?
I know you're saying. I got
Miller?
Yeah, it was a Miller. I forgot the first name.
How scary was that? This is pretty scary, too. That was as horrific an injury. And the Texans had all the right things to say about it, how horrific that was and how horrific it was for Alex Smith. I don't care. You just can't. You have to feel sorry for that. You ever want to see that.
And you mentioned Zach Miller. I type in his name. Story from October 29th. He is close to being cleared to run.
Good for him.
And he can move around with his kids. So.
And that's how long ago?
He was hurt.
16, 17, 18 months ago?
Yeah, around. He was hurt in 2017. He had 20 catches at the time. I don't know exactly the game, but so he had played a little bit. Yeah, but for now, they say he's going to be able to run in a little bit, so that's good. He had played 8 games at the time, so it was midway through last year.
That was the worst of the weekend. That was the worst thing.
That was a nasty thing.
Yeah, I don't think that there's any question. That was the worst thing that happened over the weekend. The Texans winning, the Titans getting their ass kicked, and the Jaguars. I don't think I've seen Ben play well other than the Jaguars the last time he played them and the time before he played them. I don't think that I've seen Ben play worse, and yet the Jaguars were not. This Jaguars team cannot be more inept.
This is one of these seasons that, despite making the playoffs last year, could get a coach fired. Because all the expectations were, we were a quarter away from going to the Super Bowl, and now you're clearly in the running to finish in last place in your division, in a division everyone thought was weak coming in. I don't know Doug Marone. I don't know how Shad Khan looks at Doug Marone, but you could see a year from doing what you did last year getting fired because of this year, because of the expectations, and you stood pat offensively for the most part. You change your wide receiver core a little bit, but you kept the quarterback. And so what some people predicted would happen did happen. Blake Bortles is who he is. That playoff run didn't improve who he is. And everything has gone wrong.
Hey, a bunch of people bought in to, and I they were 10-6, and I said, I like the Texans this year.
You always like
the Texans. I always like the Texans. However, I loved Deshaun coming back, and I thought that this team was going to, I honestly believe that this team, when people ask me who's going to go to the Super Bowl, I said the Texans have a shot at going to the Super Bowl. And I was maybe overplaying it a little bit, but I believe the Texans are going to make some noise in this postseason.
Well, their record is better than Deshaun's play.
Yes. Yes. So, and if Deshaun can get it together like he did a couple of times this season, if he can be more consistent, then the Texans have a real shot to actually make noise and do some things this postseason. Yes, I'm not drinking. I haven't drank in now 5 or 6 days. So
I think
this is sober, John, saying this.
I think the rest of the regular season determines that. Their seeding determines
absolutely
how that will go.
Hey, and nobody's got an easier road than this team.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, this team is going to get a bye. This team will have a bye.
Well, the Patriots play in a pretty crappy division, too.
Yes.
Yeah.
But they still have a game with their first-place schedule. Now, they had, you know who had the easiest schedule going into the season? The Patriots. The second easiest schedule was the Texans. Despite having a first-place schedule, the Patriots, because they were playing the AFC South,
yeah,
and they were playing their own division, they still had the easiest schedule going into this season.
And you look at the Patriots' schedule the rest of the way, at the Jets, which you expect to win. They do have the Vikings, but at home. But who are the Vikings now? The one that you expect or look at as a maybe a 40%, a 60% chance of a loss, they go to the Steelers, which is a place. Although they play pretty well against the Steelers, the one that no one thinks about at all times, because why would you? But it happens quite often. They go to the Dolphins, and they always struggle in Miami. But the Steelers would be the one you would point to, because the rest of it are division games. They play the Bills at home and the Jets at home to close out the season. The Patriots and the Steelers games are the ones I look at. I mean, the Dolphins and the Steelers games are the ones I look at and say, because they're both on the road, and say, those are your chances if the Texans want to gain the ground they need to gain.
Well, and the toughest game for the Texans is at the Eagles. And they're not good. They're not good.
But
and the Colts at home.
And Andrew Luck, which is, I won't even say the Colts. I'll say Andrew Luck playing the way he's playing makes that far scarier than you might think.
Yeah.
Before the season.
No, that's a good game.
Yeah.
But I truly believe that, you know, Pittsburgh has its warts. New England has its as well. It could be Kansas City and the Texans that have the bye.
You think about the Texans schedule and even just remove the teams from the equation. Who are the quarterbacks they faced? Has it been Brady and Luck, and who else? That you would think, okay, that's a top two quarterback.
That's about it. That's it.
Yeah. And they get Luck one more time.
And they get Luck one more time. And they get Carson Wentz. He hasn't been playing it. 844 ESPN 975-713-780-3776. We are going to be giving away, and I'll give you one more chance. If you get on our stream, you can see something that's on our desk here that usually you will not see. And that is going to be the word that we use when we're calling in for the staycation a little bit later in the show. That number is 713-780-3776. We'll tell you when you tell that word or words to Veronica. And the, what did I say, 12th caller? 12th caller is going to be entered into our staycation at the Houstonian, plus win a $50 gift card to Uberito. So 713-780-3776. I want to talk about my bookie. I talked about it a little bit earlier in the show. I woke up late, or I saw late, I look at the Nebraska-Michigan State game. It's freezing and the wind is blowing sideways. Oh, under. And guess what? It was 3-0 at the half. What did it finish? 9-6? And the under-over was 45. I was like, but here's the deal. Any other place, I wouldn't have been able to bet it because they had already kicked off. I go to mybookie.ag, go to live betting. Bing, bing, bing. Oh, there it is. There's the under-over. It's down to 44.5. Play as much as possible. And sure enough, it was just punt, interception, drive down, not miss field goal. It couldn't have been better. It couldn't have been easier money. That's the kind of thing that you can do at mybookie.ag as opposed to the other books, because once the game starts, they don't have live betting. So here's the deal. Take advantage. Mybookie.ag, promo code radio. They will match 50% of your initial deposit right now at mybookie.ag, promo code radio. That's not only that, though. They've got all the gambling you possibly want, every time, casino gambling, political, whatever it is. If you need to bet on it, you got it at mybookie.ag.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, 713-780-3776. The number. This is a slow. You know what? This is a slow week. Did you get any traffic coming in?
No, but then again, I'm leaving my house at like 5:35, so there's not much traffic.
Yeah.
Period. But even in high traffic areas, there was nothing. It felt like a Friday, because Fridays, for whatever reason, I guess people don't work on Fridays. At least they don't get up as early. Whatever. It felt like a Friday driving in.
It's going to be much worse Wednesday in the afternoon than people it is at any time. At any time. This week.
Are you driving to Louisiana? Flying somewhere?
No, we're going to drive to Oklahoma. Yeah. So, go see Steffi.
Ah.
Yeah. So, this is a slow week, but I'm sure we know people are out there, but do you have any thoughts about your Texans? You're more than welcome to get in. 713-780-3776. Your Rockets, 713-780-3776. Or your Astros. Or your Longhorns, or your Aggies. Let's go. You got a huge week for the Longhorns. They're in if they beat Kansas.
Yes, because someone has to lose the West Virginia-Oklahoma game. And right. Either way, it benefits them, the Longhorns. So they're in as long as they beat Kansas. Now, Kansas, we talked about in the previous segment, talking about Les Miles. They're still fighting. They stayed closer than we thought they would against Oklahoma on the road, and they get Texas at home, I believe. An 11 a.m. game, is that what it is? So it's not a walkthrough, particularly when Shane Buechele might be your starting quarterback. That adds another element to it as well. But Texas should win that game no matter what. So you've got a shot at West Virginia or Oklahoma in Jerry's World.
So how big a deal is that with Ellinger's shoulder? That he might not play here. You would think he'd be okay in a couple of weeks, but you don't know.
You never know.
Kind of a big deal, I would think, for Texas. Hey, you never know. Kansas has played better this year, even though Beatty's fired. This is Beatty's last game. They may play their ass off for him. They've already named Les Miles. They want to go all out to impress the new coach. I really don't think that this is just a gimme. Now, Texas has played really well, but they got Shane Buechele and not Ellinger. And that's a different football team with Buechele in there. So I don't know that this is a gimme.
And it's one of those weird 11 a.m., not because it's a weird time, but just weird things happen at that time, just whether a team is asleep or not, or the opponent puts them to sleep, or they have thoughts of who they might be facing next, whether it be another shot at Oklahoma or another shot at West Virginia, because they'll know the West Virginia Oklahoma game is on Friday. So it's not even just that you're playing in the Big 12 title game. If you beat Kansas, you're going to know your opponent as well. You're going to know if you're going to get to see Tyler Murray in Oklahoma or try to avenge what happened against West Virginia. That game will be played at night. Those kids will probably be watching that game, figuring out who's up next and what will their focus be. So that will be, we're not talking to Tom Herman because we don't talk to Texas on this station.
No.
But that would probably be a question I would have asked. How do you handle that Friday night? Will the guys be up watching that totally, or will they be locked in someplace doing something else?
Here's the deal is Texas better score first. If Kansas scores first, you got yourself a ball game because those guys are going to believe that they can actually win a football game.
Let's check.
You want to get any hopes of winning that football game out of Kansas's mind immediately.
And the forecast currently for Saturday doesn't look terrible, so Texas won't have to worry about. Doesn't look like they'll have to worry about weather. Looks like in the 50s at kickoff, so it'll be fine. Weather will be fine.
That's advantage Texas. A bad weather game probably advantage Kansas.
Yeah,
I like West Virginia against OU. Yep, I like them in a bounce back situation.
You would think because despite what their defense showed in the second half, they are the better defense and at home.
Yep.
I've seen West Virginia in the situation, Dana in the situation against Oklahoma before. It didn't work out well for them.
Well, they played some up and down battles.
Yeah, the last time this game meant a whole lot, and it was in Morgantown, Oklahoma jumped out to a big lead. West Virginia just couldn't hold on to the football. They fumbled multiple times. It was actually a bad weather game. I don't know what the weather will be in Morgantown this week. I think I like Oklahoma.
You like OU?
Yeah.
I'm going to go with the Fighting Holgersons in that one. I believe they're going to bounce back. I just think at home, and I think that Will Grier is going to have a big game. And OU's defense can't stop anybody. Nothing. They can't stop anything. They're just terrible. So I like. We got plenty of. Well, actually, we don't. You know, we're playing Limo Guy on Wednesday this week.
Yeah, same time, 10 o'clock. But on Wednesday, because you know it's Thanksgiving, you guys won't be around. We won't be around. Justin probably would rather be doing something else than talking to us on a Thursday. Yeah, so Limo Guy's on a Thursday. The other stuff that we do on Thursdays and Fridays, we'll just push back to the next week. But we'll move up Limo Guy. Give you guys a shot to win off Justin. I don't know if if the Monday night game was up for grabs. I haven't checked what happened over the weekend because Justin's on a bit of a losing streak.
Yeah. We'll look that up on the other side. Raheel will join us on the other side right here on ESPN 975-713-780-3776. In the meantime, what are you going to do for Thanksgiving? You can celebrate Thanksgiving at Del Frisco's, and you can leave all the hosting to them. They have a menu of Thanksgiving classics, or you can get yourself a steak from Del Frisco's. This is, I mean, you want to talk about unbelievable. You can also celebrate Christmas Day at Del Frisco's, New Year's Eve at Del Frisco's as well. But that they are going to open up, and you can have one of these bone-in ribeyes or fillets on Thanksgiving. Holy cow. They got the Wagyu dry-aged steak, Wagyu tasting from their full menu of steaks and signature favorites. The wine selection. Listen, why are you going to do all the work of cooking all that stuff when Del Frisco's is going to do it as well? If you've got a party of, you want to bring 15, 20 people, 30 people, they've got a room for you, 50 people, they can get this done easily. You want to bring the whole family to Del Frisco's and make this about as special as it can possibly be and not worry about cleaning up, but also having maybe the greatest Thanksgiving meal you've ever had, Del Frisco's Steakhouse. The Double Eagle Steakhouse is second to none in this city, and they're open Thanksgiving Day. You're looking for the place to have the best Thanksgiving meal? Del Frisco's Double Eagle Steakhouse on Westheimer in the Galleria. Doesn't get any better than Del Frisco's Double Eagle Steakhouse.